It's the RFD mailman with a message for every one of you. And here it is, that exciting show everybody's talking about in city and country alike, RFD America, with your country question editor, Joe Kelly.
Cooper, and hello to all of our good friends and neighbors out there. It's nice to have you back with us again tonight, folks, because you're really going to hear a battle royal. The second woman ever to win our Master Farmer of the Week crown is here from Faribault County, Minnesota, to defend her title against three farmers from the Wonder State of Arkansas. She's Elizabeth Stevermer, mother of eight. And say, Ed Cooper, I know our listeners are wondering who those Mississippi County, Arkansas contestants are, so let's introduce them. First, Earl Wilde,
who farms 440 acres, has won special recognition in soybean production, and whose hobby is flying. And Earl, we heard you with Jack Farr on Don McNeil's Breakfast Club program this morning. Say, they really have a lot of fun on that program, too, don't they?
Next, Lois Young.
Lieutenant farms 80 acres, wins prize after prize for her canning of meats and vegetables, and who says that her hobby is trying to keep peace in her family of four.
And last but not least, Vance Dixon.
Who left college 18 years ago completely broke, and who now is the owner of 240 acres of fine farmland. And there you have our contestants.
And now that you folks know our contestants, let's hear them answer some questions in the preliminary round of our feuding and a fighting and a fussing between the states of Minnesota and Arkansas. Our first question is, none of you folks sent in a question that seemed just right for a starter offer this week, so here's the second question. But don't you contestants worry about that first question. You won't be scored on it. Yeah. Mrs. Glenn Waters of Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, writes that on her farm there's a hog oiler. I wonder if you can explain to our listeners and to me why a hog needs to be lubricated. Earl.
He needs to be lubricated to keep the lice off of him.
That's right. Good for you, Earl. Yes, sir. Uh-huh. Here's our next question. Bob Allen of New York City wonders whether you've been too busy on the farm to keep abreast of romance. He would like for you to give the name of the girl whose marriage recently inspired the newspapers to call her the modern Cinderella. Earl again.
Married Rockefeller.
Huh? That's right. What's her name? What was her name before she married Rockefeller?
Oh, I can't think of it.
You can't think? How about the rest of you folks, Vance?
She was a princess, I believe.
No. You think about the wrong girl. You give
her
up?
First name is...
Elizabeth.
Her first name is Gloria.
No, I'm sorry. No? It starts with a B. Both her nickname and her real name. All right, her name was Barbara Sears. Now you all remember. Well, sometimes those things don't come to your mind quick, especially when you're in front of a microphone, huh? Well, we pulled a boner on that one, and that means that Bob Allen of New York City gets a bonus. Instead of a $50 Spiegel merchandise certificate, he gets a $100 certificate. Now then, you'd better watch out for this one from my own Kepler of Douglas, Nebraska. Can you tell in what direction the wind would be blowing if the wheel of a windmill pointed toward the southeast? Earl?
If the wheel pointed toward the southeast?
That's right.
It would be blowing from the northwest. Well, wait a minute. It'd be blowing from the southeast.
It certainly would, so it would be blowing in what direction?
To the northwest.
To the northwest. That's right. Almost caught you, didn't
it?
Yes, sir. Well, remember, I said in what direction and not from what direction. Uh-huh. Well, Eugene Edwards of Beeson, Illinois, says he's afraid that many of the things we've had to say about farm life on RFD America will lead city folks to believe that farming is all fun and frolic. And Mr. Edwards says that isn't true, because he is a farmer and knows differently. And since we want to be completely impartial on this program, we're going to give you contestants a chance to tell about some of the more unpleasant moments in your day on the farm. Each of you is to think of one thing you really hate doing on the farm. All right, who's going to be first? Lois?
Well, the worst thing I hate on the farm is milking the cows in the winter and milking them in the summer. It's the coldest job in the winter and it's the hottest in the summer.
Well, I guess you can say that again, Lois. How about you, Ben?
You have to get up early and go to work early and quit late.
Yeah? You don't like that, huh?
No, sir.
You don't, huh? Well, I can't blame you in a way. Elizabeth, how about you?
Well, everyone in our community hates to wash the separator and the milking machine.
Oh? Uh-huh. Well, and, Earl?
I don't like to haul manure.
You don't, huh? Cattle of Central South Dakota would like to see how many things on the farm you folks can name that are not electric, but can be described in electrical terms. An example could be, he uses a switch to drive cattle. Now, that's the idea. Okay, let's hear you do some. Electrical terms. All right, Elizabeth?
Currents.
Currents? Putting up currents?
Yes, if I am understanding the question correctly.
That's right, many things on the farm that you can name that are not electric but can be described in electrical terms. All right, Vance?
The current of a stream.
Well, that's all right, yeah. Well, let's get away from the current, though. Let's get something else, Earl.
What would a man be doing so early in the morning on the farm? What?
What? Oh, now, Earl, cut it out. Wait a minute. When you do that again, hit that word, what? This is the layout. How about, can you think of any others? Rest of you folks. Any more? Elizabeth?
Wire for fencing.
Wire for fencing? Yes, uh-huh. I get it.
Wire for electric wire, you see. The electric wire and wire for fencing.
I see. Well, that's good. You couldn't write for the fencing, so you wired for it. I get it. Uh-huh. Earl?
That bale of cotton was too light.
That
was
bale
heavy enough.
Bale of cotton was too light. That's a good one. All right. Now, this one's from Joe Spenago of Tonelo, Illinois. Do the following animals have hair, fur, wool, or feathers? Muscovy. Muscovy. Elizabeth.
Ducks. They have feathers.
That's right. They have feathers. They're ducks. And how about Tamworth? Tamworth. Elizabeth again.
Hogs. They have bristles or hair.
Their hair, uh-huh. And Rambouillet. Earl.
Wool. That's a sheep.
That's right. Good for you. Uh-huh. Uh-oh. And so the questions go faster and faster. That horn calls a halt to your work for a while, contestants. And now the judges will get to their work and add up the scores. And that shouldn't take more than 60 seconds.
And Joe, why don't you take it easy for those 60 seconds, too? And let me tell the folks how they can win some wonderful prizes. You know, in the 13 weeks that RFD America has been on the air, about $8,000 worth of Spiegel merchandise certificates have been awarded to our listeners. And all of those winners, all that they had to do to win those certificates was write down on a penny postcard or in a letter a question they wanted to ask our contestants. You see, if a question is used, a big Spiegel mail order catalog and a $50 certificate is awarded. And if the question is missed by our contestants, that $50 certificate is doubled and a $100 certificate is sent out. Now imagine being able to choose anything you want from that Spiegel catalog. And say, you know, right now would be a mighty good time to get a complete new Easter outfit, wouldn't it? If you take this hint, you'll sit down right after our broadcast and send a question to RFD America, Chicago, Illinois. I'll give you that address once again. It's simply RFD America, Chicago, Illinois.
And here's a report from our judges. They say that the winners in the preliminary round were Earl Wilde, Elizabeth Stevermer, and Lois Young. And to you, Vance Dixon, goes the chance to look over that long list of prizes before any of our other contestants have ever seen it and choose the one item there that you like best of all. What number will it be, Vance?
Number 7.
Number 7. Oh, boy, did you pick it. Oh, it's a dandy. And another thing, I'll bet your family will love you for choosing this. It's a 12-cubic-foot harder freeze home freezer made by Tyler of Niles, Michigan, and guaranteed to keep all your food fresh and appetizing for months and months.
Thank you very much.
And now going into the semifinal round are these contestants. Elizabeth Stevermer, last week's master farmer from Minnesota. Lois Young, our farm wife from Arkansas. And Earl Wilde, a farmer whose hobby is flying. And now let's find out who our winners are going to be in this round. This question here is from Old Ryback of Port Huron, Michigan. If you were to come upon a horse and a mare, twins, 6 years old, with identical markings and of the same color, and all you could see or examine of either animal was the head, could you tell which was the horse and which was the mare? Now, there is a doozer. That's a toughie. If I had to answer that without seeing my card, I'd say there's a horse on me. Elizabeth?
I can only say there are both horses.
Well,
that's the only thing.
A horse?
It may be just a coincidence, but I know my husband looks at a mule and tells by his face which one it is, so they probably can identify him. I think a horse mule has a longer face than a mare mule does.
Well, now listen, you farmers. I'm going to teach you something. The answer is yes. Now, you can tell by the teeth. Horses have four more teeth than mares. They're called canine or dog teeth and are located on either side of the front incisors. They don't appear until the horse's fourth year. Now, didn't you know that? Didn't you really, you folks? Well, I'm going to have to buy me a farm, that's all there is to it, yes, sir. Well, you can't get them all, no sirree. Wouldn't be any fun if you did. Well, that's a myth. Yes, so it was. I thought I gave the answer, and I did, but I don't get the certificate, do I? No. Anyway, that means that whoever sent the question in, that was missed. Where is it? I got it all mixed up. Well, anyway, here we are, right here. Land sakes alive. I don't know so much after all, do I? Now, we're going to give a bonus to this party who sent that question, and I can't find the name right now. So I guess, there it is. Yeah, Old Ryback of Port Huron, Michigan. And that means instead of the $50 Spiegel merchandise certificate, he gets a $100 certificate. Say, I had an awful time giving that one away, didn't I? Mrs. W.P. Leonard of Auburn, Washington, thinks that it would be of interest to city listeners as consumers to hear you farmers discuss the pros and cons of a bill now before Congress. The subject is, should oil margarine continue to be taxed? The tax now is 10 cents a pound on the colored product and a 1/4% on the uncolored product. Of course, with most of you contestants raising cotton and cottonseed oil being used in oil margarine, I don't know how much proing and conning we'll get on this, but anyway, let's find out. Laura?
Well, we would, in my part of the country, would definitely be against the tax because the soybeans and the cotton that we raise are the key products that go into margarine.
Mm-hmm.
And naturally, we would like more margarine produced.
Mm-hmm.
And the lower the price, the greater the chance of being bought.
Mm-hmm. And how about the rest of you folks? Would you like to get in on this, Earl?
I agree with Lois, definitely. Oh, butter costs now almost, twice to three times as much as margarine. And since we are raising so much of these crops that go into it, we certainly don't want it taxed. I read quite an interesting article the other day, too. A dairy farmer said he didn't think that butter should be taxed either, that dairy farmers were putting their steaks on butter when they should be putting it on fluid milk.
Mm-hmm.
There's a thought that I hadn't thought of before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Elizabeth?
Well, I'm going through the state of Wisconsin on the way home, and when I get home, I intend to live in Minnesota. The land of lakes, you know, is a product of butter, is a product of Minnesota.
Yes.
And, but the main reason is that the dairy farmer must have an enormous outlay in cash for buildings and equipment, and especially cows. It takes longer to raise a cow for milking than what it does to build a battleship. And they have an enormous outlay, and that's why they have to have more money for butter than what they do for oil margarine. Also, this tax on oleo margarine is probably 1/4 cent per pound on uncolored, where you can tell it from the butter. And in that case, it hurts no one when the price is at that to add 1/4 cent to the price of oleo margarine.
Mm-hmm. Well, this has been a very interesting discussion. Of course, I guess we'll all have to wait and see how things turn out. Now, our next question really has to do about songs. The old songs are on their way back. Remarks Henry Bowman of Dallas, Texas. Since the Petrillo Edict of January 1st, 1948, no new music has been recorded, and so naturally, that means the old songs will be used more and more. Mr. Bowman would like to hear you contestants sing the one song you would call your all-time favorite, one, you know, that you'd like to see brought back. Now, we've all got an old-time favorite song, I'm sure. Earl?
Well, Down by the Old Mill Stream.
That's one of my favorites, too. How about singing?
Well, I don't know how far down the line I'll sing.
Well, I'll tell you, just get us down there by the stream. That's
okay.
All you have to do.
down by the old mill stream where I first met you.
Why, Earl, that's fine. Yes, sir. Now, that was all right, Earl. How about the rest of you folks? Come on, let's all get in on this now. Elizabeth?
Let me call you sweetheart. I'm in love with you.
Oh, that's the band name. Yes, sir. That's one of the good old-timers. Now, let's see, Lois?
Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O, and on this farm he had a duck, E-I-E-I-O. Was a quack, quack here, and a quack, quack there, and here, quack, there, quack, everywhere, quack, quack. Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O.
Now, those are all fine. Yes, sir, we all enjoyed that very, very much. You just can't beat the old songs, I guess. One more round to go, and while our statistical experts are adding up the scores, it's my pleasure to introduce our special guest tonight, a man who has done much to help create a better understanding between rural and urban America. He's chairman of the board of the Foundation for American Agriculture, vice chairman of the board of the Quaker Oats Company, and a member of the Business Advisory Committee of the United States Department of Commerce. Mr. Douglas Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Kelly. It is a great privilege for me, as a businessman representing one of the oldest grain processing companies in America, to speak to the farmers and their families. You farmers should be proud of your accomplishment. You comprise 20% of the population, and yet through your skill and hard work, you produce food and fiber for 140 million Americans, and have large quantities left for export. A wonderful record. As a businessman, I say to you that industry can be prosperous, cannot be prosperous, unless agriculture is prosperous. America is still a land of great opportunity. I believe that in commerce and agriculture, the prizes to be won during the next 25 years are greater than ever, provided we adhere to our incentive system and the pattern of initiative, and that agriculture, business, and labor work together as a team. Certainly in our scheme of things, there is no place for a controlled and regimented economy. In America, a man is free to work at a job of his own choice, farming, manufacturing, or general business. He can take advantage of his opportunities, work with others as an equal, and enjoy the fruits of his own labor and the satisfaction of a job well done.
Thank you, Douglas Stewart. We enjoyed having you as our guest on RFD America. And now, Ed Cooper, I see you are waiting to give us the judge's verdict.
Yes, Joe, the semifinal winners are Elizabeth Stevermer and Earl Wilde. And Lois Young, that gives you the choice of two consolation prizes. What two are they going to be, Lois?
I'll take one and two.
Numbers one and two. Well, you know, Lois, you might not like to do the milking, but you're certainly going to like to do the washing from now on. How's this for a honey of a prize? A big, gleaming white ABC spinner washing machine. With your new ABC spinner, you'll notice a difference in speed, in efficiency, and the snow-white quality that you want in your washings, and something to sort of beautify yourself to, Lois. An exciting prize if there ever was one. It's a sparkling $500 keepsake diamond ring set in a brilliant mounting and protected by the keepsake certificate of guarantee and registration. Isn't that exquisite? A couple of mighty nice prizes.
Thank you so very much.
And now for that thrilling last round, battling it out for the Master Farmer title are Elizabeth Stevener, last week's Master Farmer, and Earl Wilde, our farm flying enthusiast. Well, what do you know? Hey, this is going to be a dandy round. Man versus woman. Well, here we go. Here's one from Dean McFall of Roseburg, Oregon, that should be fun. What remedies, good or bad, have you heard of to help a cow that has lost her cud? Earl?
Oh, cow corn cob in her mouth. Oh, wait a minute. Take it back. A dirty rag, I believe, is better.
Well, yes, I hadn't heard about the corn cob, but I had heard about the dirty rag, the greasy rag.
Or a piece of bacon or something like that. I think I've heard that, too.
Uh-huh. Well, actually, does a cow lose her cud, Earl?
Well, I guess she does, but she spits it out or swallows it.
Well,
no, she doesn't lose her cut.
No, she doesn't lose her cut. That's right. And there's another. It's just an old time situation here of forcing a salt herring down the cow's throat. That might help.
I never heard that. We don't live in a territory where we can get salt herring.
You know that. All right. Let's see how fast we can go through this one from Marjorie Griffith of Brawley, California. She wants me to give you the name of one variety of a crop, and then you are to name another variety of the same crop. Here's the first one, country gentleman. Elizabeth.
It's the sweet corn.
Sweet corn, that's
right.
And
the other kind is golden bantam.
Golden bantam, that's good enough for me. All right, how about Sea Island? Sea Island, Earl.
Stoneville, it's cotton.
That's right, Stoneville, cotton, uh-huh. Manchu is the next one. Elizabeth.
Soybean.
Soybean. What's the name of another variety? Earl?
Ogden, Lincoln.
Ogden, Lincoln, yes, sir. And how about this next one, Alta Fescue? Elizabeth.
It's a grass.
It's a grass.
Brom grass.
Brom. Very good. Uh-huh. And how about Alberta? Alberta. Earl.
That's a peach or Haven. Hale's Haven.
Hale Haven. Uh-huh. And all right. Now, that's very, very good. Here's one from Mrs. L.W. Farrell of Mark Tree, Arkansas that ought to set your imaginations to work. See if you can name at least three things that a left-handed person must do with his right hand. Elizabeth.
Comb their hair, put on their shoes.
Well,
I disagree with her.
You disagree with her. What would you say in that instance, then, Earl?
Oh, I'd say that they had to clean their fingernails on the left hand with the right hand.
Yeah, that's a good one. Can you think of any others, Elizabeth?
Shake hands.
Shake hands, that's right, uh-huh. And can you think of any more? All right, well, you've given me...
Just a minute. The wedding ring.
The wedding ring? All right, fine. And now then, here's a showdown question. Your last chance to score and your last try for that Master Farmer title. Calvin Kinshew of Oakfield, Wisconsin, thinks that by now you have proved your worth as farmers, so he wants to test your historical knowledge and see how many presidents of the United States you can name. Sounds easy, doesn't it? Of course, you know all 32, but wait till you start trying to remember them. Now then, Earl, you start off and name one president. Then, Elizabeth, you name one, and back to Earl, and back to Elizabeth, and so on and so forth, until one of you fails to name a president in 5 seconds. And remember, 15 points go to the winner, so think fast and talk faster. All right, Earl, you begin.
Franklin Roosevelt.
All right.
Washington.
Franklin. What did you say?
Washington.
Washington.
Truman.
Truman.
Theodore Roosevelt.
Theodore Roosevelt.
Hoover.
Hoover.
Cleveland.
Grover
Cleveland.
That's right.
Oh, Lincoln.
Lincoln?
Andrew Jackson.
Andrew Jackson? Earl?
Oh, Coolidge.
Coolidge?
Johnson.
Johnson?
Right after Lincoln.
All right.
Wasn't there Pike?
No. No. Earl, you're next. Time's a-wasting. Uh-oh. Time's up. Elizabeth wins the extra 15 points. Yes, sir. And now then, that's the end of our question session, but not the end of our questions. Every one of us is wondering, who is the Master Farmer of the Week? Our judges will have the answer to that all-important question in just 1 minute. In the meantime, friends, I know you'll be interested in this letter from Mrs. Charlotte Hendricks, RFD2, Eugene, Oregon. She has suggested that this week's Friendly Farmer Award be given to her neighbor, Roy Snyder, also of Eugene, Oregon. Let's hear parts of her letter.
In the recent floods which hit our part of the country, Roy Snyder certainly showed himself to be a real neighbor. I am a widow with two small boys, and I work in town about 6 miles from my farm. When the water began to rise, I was at work and couldn't get home right away, and Mr. Snyder came over from his farm and started to work getting our electric irrigation outfit and other things out of the way of the water. He fixed supper for the boys and was going to take them home with him if I couldn't get home. After I did, the water was so high that the boys and I couldn't leave the house. We had a cow and two hogs in the barn about 500 feet away, and we couldn't get to them. So Mr. Snyder again helped the barn and doing the chores. After the water was gone, he helped us rebuild our fences, fix the barn and house, and many other things which we never could have done alone. I think Roy Snyder is a real neighbor.
Yes, Mrs. Hendricks, we think he's a real neighbor, too. Thank you for your very nice letter. And to you, Roy Snyder, out there in Eugene, Oregon, goes this week's RFD America Friendly Farmer Certificate and a Spiegel Merchandise Award, good for $50 worth of hip boots, water rings, a boat, or anything else you want in the catalog. Now, attention, everyone. Here's the big news. Our Master Farmer of the Week is still the lady from Minnesota, Elizabeth Stevermer.
Well, congratulations are certainly in order, Elizabeth. And Earl Wilde, you almost had that title yourself. But now you have your choice of two fine prizes from that list that you've just been handed. So which ones do you choose, Earl?
I'd like 3 and 6.
Numbers 3 and 6. Well, we know that Arkansas is a mighty fine state, Earl, and things are mighty nice and clean down in Arkansas with all that cotton and everything. But here's something to clean up the house with, and I know you've made a wise choice. The amazing new Filter Clean vacuum cleaner with no bag to empty. You'll discover there's a fresh new brightness to everything you clean with your Filter Clean. And also something else for the home, Earl. Here's something that should delight any homemaker, maybe the little lady back in Arkansas. A 5-year supply of those smooth, luxurious Dan River Percale sheets and pillowcases. And also to you, Earl, our runner-up, goes a very extra special bonus award. It's a $500 strand of imperial cultured pearls, designed for everlasting beauty and with the rich loveliness which nature only can develop. And your pearls are registered and insured by the Imperial Pearl Syndicate. Congratulations to you, Earl Wilde.
Thank you so much.
And to our master farmer goes this lineup of prizes. And, Elizabeth, I don't see how you're going to get home with all these prizes we have for you. Here's a dandy right off the bat, a complete set of handsome club aluminum hammered waterless cookware. It's really a dandy. And now, something here that complements any woman's costume, a full-year supply of Klausner Clearshear Exquisite Hosiery. And these Klausner nylons are fashioned in personalized proportions to fit perfectly. And here's something for the mister.
Mm-hmm.
A big supply of the well-known Glidden Endurance base coat and Glidden Endurance house paint. In fact, there's enough to give either your townhouse or barn a bright new spring glow. And, well, b'gosh and b'golly, look what's here. Yes, sir. You are now the owner, and I suppose you'll want to give these to your husband, too. 10-year supply of those longer-wearing, better-fitting, neater-looking Oshkosh-B'gosh overalls and Oshkosh-B'gosh work shirts. And to our master farmer goes this bonus award, Elizabeth, and it ought to make you jump for joy. It's a beautiful mahogany Spartan radio phonograph combination. This Spartan console, known as radio's richest voice since 1926, features an automatic record changer that plays up to 12 records and special AM, FM, and shortwave reception bands. Won't that be wonderful for your home?
Thank you ever so much.
Folks, next week we've really got a surprise for you. We're going to pick a junior master farmer, yes, sir? In celebration of National 4-H Club Week, our contestants will all be 4-H Club members, two girls and two boys, one each from the states of Michigan, Wisconsin, Indiana, and Iowa. We'll see whether the young folks from the farm can do as well as their elders. And tonight's master farmer, Elizabeth Stevermer from Minnesota, will be back in 2 weeks to compete with three new contestants from another interesting state. So be sure to get in on the fun with our 4-H Club contestants next week. Until then, this is your Country Question editor, that ORFDer Joe Kelly, saying good night, friends and neighbors, and let's all get together next Thursday night, hmm?
Be sure to join us again next Thursday night to meet our grand 4-H Club contestants. This program is a Lewis E. Cowan production and came to you from Chicago. Ed Cooper speaking. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
This is WGN Chicago, serving the Middle West.